Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Greater Alton Church. It's good to be with you this morning. A couple of things. First of all, yesterday was such a blessing. We had lots of our leaders here. Took a Saturday to look at the character of a leader. And church, you've got some good leaders here. I really just appreciated the hearts in that room. It really made the whole session, our time together, such a joy, such a blessing. So praise God. Praise God we have people that are willing to shoulder some load and lead and want to know how to be better leaders. The second thing is I've got in my hand is a brochure about the ladies' retreat. And we're hoping you'll get some information today, ladies. The information is out here on the Welcome Center. And you'll notice probably somewhere in the bulletin or something about you can sign up today. You can sign up using Church Center. We encourage you to sign up as soon as possible. I think next week is the deadline for signing up. We really want to get a good number of who's going to be going to the ladies' retreat, okay? We're in a series of lessons we're calling Free Indeed. And it comes from this passage here up on the screen or in your notes if you'd like to see it. It says here, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. See, Jesus came to set us free. And as Americans, we'd like to think we know a lot about freedom, but sometimes it's a little confusing at times. So what is freedom in Christ? Well, it isn't defined by the Constitution. It's defined by the Word of God. And that's what we're going to be looking at several weeks. Hopefully our small groups are going to be going through this little book called Freedom in Christ by Neil Anderson. And hopefully there'll be some great discussion there. This is part two. In part one, last week, we looked at a couple of thoughts about what is freedom in Christ. And you'll notice on your bulletin, I want to quickly just mention them, that freedom in Christ frees me from the bondage of sin. Freedom is from something and freedom for something and freedom to something. And so that's the greatest thought, is that our freedom in Christ frees me from our bondage of sin. I love this passage in Revelation. It says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. It's not just liberty that Christ has set us free, but he's setting us free to live a life that reflects this freedom and the kind of life he wants. That's why point two was last week we made, was that freedom in Christ calls me to live responsibly. I can't just live any way I want to just because I'm free to do it. Can I do whatever I want? Yeah, but there'll be consequences. So freedom in Christ doesn't mean I get to do whatever I want. In fact, notice this passage here. It says, live like free people. And Peter says, but don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Live as those who are serving God. He says, you know, instead of doing what you want, think about what would God want, the one who freed you. What would he want me to do with this life now? And so freedom in Christ is a focus on responsibility, not necessarily my rights. Again, there's the difference between American and Christian freedom. So today I'd like to talk about three more ideas that give us an idea of what freedom in Christ is about. Let's get right into them. Number three, freedom in Christ makes room for me to grow. I don't know have you ever noticed the difference between animals in a zoo and animals in the wild? I mean, there's kind of a difference there. I remember the first time I saw a dolphin, and it was at SeaWorld, and they did their tricks, and they're doing their flips and all that stuff, and I was real impressed. I was like, wow, you know, being a Midwestern, hundreds of miles away from ocean, you know, I'm seeing a dolphin. Only dolphin I ever knew was Flipper when I was watching Flipper growing up, and so this was a treat. And then Denise and I and our family went down to Dolphin Island. And it was really cool. We got a beach house right on the beach. We're watching the ocean. And while we're doing that, I noticed some fish. I'm having coffee one morning. Some fish are, a school of them are getting real close to the, like they're going to get on the beach because as the surf's coming in. Then I see this ginormous dolphin trying to get, and I thought to myself, oh, I'm not swimming in the ocean anymore. That thing looked twice the size of what I saw at SeaWorld. And that's a phenomenon that's called spatial limitation. It's a phenomenon, a study has revealed that when animals or plants are put in a confined space versus a wide open space, it affects how they grow. Physically? Absolutely. I think about, we see those animals there at the zoo that show a cheetah, and they say they can run 70 miles an hour. I'm not so sure the one at the St. Louis Zoo can do that, because he doesn't have enough room to practice. He may not have the wind for it, but out in the wild, you know they can. They're stronger physically. They're larger physically. But also this idea of spatial limitation, they've studied animals and plants. They've noticed something about animals, that not only are they physically able to grow when they're in open space, but it also affects their confinement, affects their mental and their social well-being as well. You'll notice tigers will go across the cage. They'll pace. They don't do that in the wild. And they act differently when they're confined than they do when they're out in their natural habitat without boundaries. I think we grow much the same way. I think that this spatial limitation is what sin does to us. That the things that bind us, that imprison us, can just have a heyday with our lives and hold us down and hold us back. They restrict us. Let me ask you, do you think anxiety can do that? I think it can. What about fear? Absolutely. Shame? Hurt? Pain? The past? Bitterness? Does it? I know every one of these has done this to me. Held me back. A relationship? Maybe a relationship I shouldn't be involved in anymore. It's somehow limiting my ability to grow spiritually, mentally, emotionally. I thought about this personally, thinking about these things and how they've affected my life. And I can tell you, and you can as well, it's punishing. It's punishing, and it holds you down. It holds you back. It limits you. It hinders you. I can tell you, I'm off. I'm just off. Something's not quite right. When I'm in that emotional, spiritual prison cell, this is how life's supposed to work. Paul said it this way in Romans 7, I don't understand myself at all. I think one translation says, I don't even know why I act the way I do. Anybody here say amen to that? Yeah, I don't know, why do I say that? Why did I do that? I don't understand myself at all. Look what he says, for I really want to do what is right. Is that true? Yeah, I want to do what's right, but I can't. Like Paul, he says, why? I do what I don't want to. What I hate. The very thing I walked in, I didn't want to do. I end up doing. What is wrong with me? That's the bondage. I'm in an environment. I'm in this spatial limitation in the head, in the heart. And it's making it very difficult. I'm watching very difficult to grow, to change. And that way prisons are, they have that routine. They march in lines. They go eat. They go outside in free time. They have this routine. I was watching, I've been watching NFL. I'm in the playoff mode. Packers are out, so I'm watching the playoffs. I noticed something. I don't know if you're noticing. As the playoffs teams get closer and closer to the Super Bowl, there's lots of mistakes. Fumbles, miscatches. Somebody doesn't block, or somebody doesn't tackle somebody, and the crowd goes crazy. They were booing Pittsburgh last week. And there's my guy, there's Aaron Rodgers, and I'm going, oh man. And he looks like he has that 1,000-yard stare at the end of the game. He's like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. They fire Tomlin. Last night, is it Josh Allen? He's crying before the press. I've let my team down. Why are these grown men losing it? Why? Pressure. The space is getting narrower. The pressure is being applied. The closer I'm getting to Super Bowl, you think any player gets up in the morning and goes, I'm going to fumble twice today. I'm going to miss that tackle. the pressure from other players, the pressure from the fans, the pressure to keep your job. Why are they dropping the ball so much? Why are they messing up so much? It's the referees. Well, they're making mistakes too, but that's not really what it is. The pressure. You just don't do well under pressure. Would you agree with that? I mean, who does? I watch, I used to be a soccer dad. They always pick on the soccer moms. I don't know why, but the soccer dads are just as bad sometimes, okay? I watch my boys play and I go, watch out, look out, run, all that stuff, you know, and I've had to learn over the years to quiet down. My wife has reminded me, stop it. People look at me, some of you, our kids play together, you look over at me like, are you insane? But there's always somebody, there's that one parent that's louder than everybody, yelling from the bleachers, yelling from the sideline, and they're not saying, you can do it, you're way to go. No, they're going, you're messing up. Get your head in the game. And all of us, the rest of us, see it. We see it in the kids' eyes as they look over at their mother or their dad or whoever it be. And there's this look of, if I mess up, I'm going to be in trouble. You ever felt like that? Yeah. David is feeling it, feeling the same way. He feels all tied up, all tense up. In Psalms 18, he's wrestling with all this stuff in his head, and he's going, man, I just feel so hemmed in. I'm in deep. It's like he's in the depths of the ocean. I'm in deep. And the cords of death, he says, encircle me and grip me, holding me. And he says, I call out for God. And he reaches down from heaven and takes hold of him. And he says, he brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Verse 36 says, he sets before me a wide path. Why? Why do you, Lord, you know, David's going, I feel fenced in, but you free me into the wild, into a spacious place. There's no spatial limitation here. Why? Because why are you doing that, Lord? Well, I want you free, first of all. I want you free. And I want you to know, nobody makes much progress in prison. It's just not good to do. Whenever I'm tied up with a thought or a habit or a hurt, I want you to know God reaches down and wants you out of that. He wants you out of it sometimes more than you want to be out of it. And he says, I want you out of that. Let's give you some latitude to learn. Let's give you some margin to mature. Let's help you grow. I want to give you room to grow. Look at Romans 6 here. Paul says it this way. He's telling the church in Rome who struggle with this, the rules and the sin and the habits that hold them back. He says, but now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves to God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. God sets me free for his holiness. No, I don't, anybody else notice this in verses? I'm set free, but I'm a slave. Huh? What? How can I be free and be a slave? Well, I guess it depends on who your master is. That's one. But the other thing is, it's not the slavery, the bondage he's emphasizing, but the focus of a slave. And what is the focus of a slave? To please his master. To do the things he wants. And what are the things that take a slave focus that God wants us as slaves to focus on? Doing things that lead to holiness. That doesn't sound like tyranny, does it? Doesn't sound like tyranny at all. It sounds like a mission, a purpose in life. I want you to do these things, the things that lead to holiness, the kind of things that I wanted Adam and Eve to do. They were free as well to do my things, my holy things. I want you to be set apart to serve me. So God wants to give you lots of room. Kind of like a parent who's trying to help their small child ride a bicycle. You don't do it on a narrow road, do you? No, you get a wide street, no parked cars, right? Like a mom or a dad, I think one time Denise took Nathan out to learn how to drive because we just weren't cutting it together. And she takes him to a huge parking lot without any cars. Now, why would you do that, Denise? Give him lots of room, lots of latitude to make a mistake as he matures and grows. By the way, he came home that day learning how to drive. What she did in just a few hours, she did something a few hours I couldn't do several times with him. So I want to encourage you, church, if you're set free, you're free indeed, to use this freedom. Use it to its fullest. Use the room that God has given you. Use the margin and the latitude God has given you. And as he reaches out and pulls you out, understand what's before you is this open gate in your cage to say, come on and jump out of that thing. Try something. It's an adventure that's waiting for you. Try something new. Take a daring step because you've got lots of room to grow. That freedom makes it possible. Here's the fourth thing. Freedom in Christ shapes my view of God. I didn't know how to really say this very well. It really does shape it. It has a tremendous impact on how I see God and how I view God. I think it improves my love. It forms my hope, what I can expect from God. I don't know why, but when I think thinking about approaching God, I think of the Wizard of Oz. Remember the Wizard of Oz, and they were going to go, finally the doors open, and it opens by itself, and they walk in, and here comes the Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion. He's wringing his tail, and Dorothy's like wide-eyed, like kind of a little bit, going doing a little bit of this, you know. Toto is scared, kind of hiding behind. Scarecrow's kind of looking around, and then they get to the Oz, boom, shh, boom, fire, I am the great and powerful, boom, shh, Wizard of Oz. You hear the Tin Man clankety clanking, and the Cowardly Lion bites his own tail. He's so scared. A lot of people approach God like that. There's a lot of terror. I mean, I got thinking about this. How would I feel? I was thinking about this the other day, just going, what would I do? What am I going to do, and how am I going to feel when I'm before the throne of God, before Jesus Christ? All this, oh, this is in heaven. This is going to be incredible. Well, I'm going to be excited. Exact, sure. But I got to admit, I'm going to have a few butterflies. Anybody else with me on this? I'm like, kind of be a little scary. I mean, after all, when you read Bible verses, they give you kind of this idea. You need to think about how you approach God. Look at these verses here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Philippians 2. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Man, I got enough to do. Tremble? Hebrews 12. Let us be grateful and worship God in a way that will please him with reverence and awe. Another word for reverence is fear. Reverence and awe because our God is indeed a destroying fire, a consuming fire. I think about, he's writing to Hebrew, the Hebrew readers are Jewish. I'm sure they're thinking about moments when fire came down from heaven during Elijah's prayer and licked up all the water and all the sacrifice, or fire striking Nadab and Abihu down because they just offered something else that God didn't even speak of. I mean, I have to admit, that creates some butterflies. And passages like this, church, they can draw out a level of fear in us that can shape how we see God and contribute to some of the lies that we tell ourselves. Some of the lies we buy into, these lies keep us locked up and not free. I'm looking forward to hearing a lesson. I'm not sure who's going to do this one. Just on what are the lies we tell ourselves, though we're free, that lock us up. That God says, I don't want you to think like that. That's not true anymore. This is what's true. This is what's true. You've given your life to me. This is true. You've trusted me. This is true. You can count on. Look at this passage here. It says, Christ has has freed us so that we may enjoy the benefits of his wisdom. I mean, think about this. Does this sound like somebody free, or does this sound like somebody who's in prison? They're angry with me. I'm a disappointment. I deserve to be here. They're tired of me. He's tired of me. He's given up on me. He's distant. He doesn't really care. He's not interested. He doesn't hear me. He's out to get me. Does that sound like an inmate more than it sounds like somebody that's free? And yet Paul would tell the church of Galatia, oh man, enjoy the benefits of freedom. And what are those benefits? Well, one of them is I can approach God with confidence. Look at this passage here. In him and through faith in him. That's when I trust him. It's not enough to, you say, in him and faith in him. Does that mean I believe he's the Son of God? Well, I believe it's stronger than that. I believe it so much I trust the Lord here. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Yeah, freedom. Yes, it is true. Freedom does not make me casual or cavalier. But church, our freedom in Christ is designed to give you and me security. That we can be confident about some things. I can expect something. I wrote a list here. Let's rifle through these. What can I expect? I expect God to notice me. You know, just like a grandparent or a parent who says, want to see some pictures of my kids? God notices. He sees you. Your desire to be seen. Let's tell you, God notices you. I think about a song. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Because his eye is on the sparrow and I know he watches me. That's Bible. Jesus talks about, you know, sparrows are everywhere. Most common bird. I don't even know if you and I really look at them that much, but God says, Jesus said when one falls to the ground, and God knows it. He know, and you're more worth more than many sparrows. So he's always going to notice. I can expect God to notice me. He sees me. I expect God to welcome me. He's the God that runs when someone's coming back home. He's the kind of God that says when someone comes up, he says, stop, don't keep the little children coming to me. He welcomes me. I've a mess. I've violated the word of God. I've violated God's law. I have sinned. And I've had this problem for years. And God says, well, let's talk about it. He welcomes me. You turn to God. He welcomes you. I can expect that when I'm set free by Jesus Christ. I can expect God to listen to me. I can expect God to speak to me. You know, God doesn't like distance, but how do you do when you have you feel some distance between somebody? I don't do it well. It gnaws me up. God doesn't, he goes, sometimes I go, I don't know if I should speak or have even any eye contact. God says, oh, I'm going to keep my eye on you. And I'll tell you what, I will talk to you, Tim. I'll continue to speak to you, even when you think you're not going to have anything to say. I'll tell you what, I know this is true. As God listens to me, he's got something he wants to say to me. And I'll tell you what, He listens to you. He has something he wants to say to you as well. You can count on it. I can expect God to discipline me because he cares enough to correct. It's interesting. I've listened to some of our kids who have friends that say, I wish my mom and dad were like your mom and dad. And it's not because they got a car or they got some prize. It's because the mom and dad sticks their nose in my business. That means they care. They speak up. They want to know where I'm at. You know, I don't know about you, but there was times when my mom would, we didn't have texting and cell phones because, like I said before, you had a gossip in a small town. Everybody knows everything. Hey, Rudell, what? I saw your boy up at such and such place. Were you up there? How did you know that? Is there satellites watching me? No. No, it's friends. It's a network of people. I look back and thank God. Thank God my mom would speak into my life. Thank God they were nosy. And I'll tell you what, a lot of my friends were envious because of that. And you know, there's just something special that God would care enough to correct me. Yeah, he isn't just going to stand there. He's going to get involved. I can expect God to stay with me. He says, I'm always going to be with you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I can expect God to be patient with me. Now, other people may not be so patient, but I can expect God to be patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, giving us time, understanding how sin works and how we work. Some of us need a little more time than others. And he gives us the freedom for that. I can approach God and know he's going to be patient with me. And most of all, I can expect God to help me. He's not going to sit on his hands. If I ask him for his help, he's going to help. I can be confident of that. And finally, what else about freedom in Christ? Well, freedom in Christ calls for celebration. I was with one of my granddaughters. We're at Steak and Shake. She calls it Steak and Snake. So we're there having a double snake burger. And Denise looks over at her and goes, Nene. He goes, yes, Gigi. Is that shake good? He goes, no, it's not good. She goes, it's good. And she'd slurp and her tongue would, oh, it's good. And Denise knew I had never heard her say it. She did that this week to me. I just started laughing. Freedom of Christ, is it good? No, it's not good. It's good. It's incredibly good. And just like sometimes I take my freedom as an American for granted, ooh, I can take the freedom in Christ for granted. It's so good, and it deserves celebration from me. Last week, we're watching the Packer game with the Bears. Everybody's there. My sons are there. And Kevin shows up. Here's a picture of Kevin at the Bears game at my house. He's Packer stuff all around him. And by the way, this is AI generated. He didn't have his hands up even. One of my sons played around with it, had a picture of him just sitting there and having with his hands up, asked AI, have his hands up and have them colored in Bears colors. And there he was. Now I wish I could tell you that Kevin is just like, you know, happy the whole game. He is quiet. 21-3, I think it was a halftime score. He's quiet. We're all high-fiving. We can't believe it. We got a little bit of reservation because we know the Bears are a second-half team. And sure enough, I don't know what adjustments they made, but they sure made them. And Kevin's sitting there. They score. They score again. Quiet. Real controlled. Kevin's a quiet man anyway. But he is very quiet. And then late in the fourth quarter, they take the lead. and we're marching down the field. And you think Kevin would be excited. Oh, no, 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 no. I think his eyes are sinking deeper and deeper. He's nervous. What, are they ahead by two? Or one? Or I can't, four? I can't remember. It wasn't much. And then it goes down to the 2 minute warning. And next thing you know, it's down to the last 10 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And as soon as the zero appeared, somebody else in Kevin's body jumps out. Yeah! We own you! We own you! Some of you know what I mean by that. And I'm going, okay, okay, you won. And he just keeps going. He goes, I can't believe it! We beat you guys! We beat you guys not once, we beat you twice! Yeah! And he's going crazy. And I'm going, well, that makes sense. It makes sense. I mean, they hadn't won a playoff game in 15 years. Liberation brings celebration. We're no longer got the monkey on our back. We're free. We're, woohoo! My sons and I are, okay, you know, I get it. Happy for you. I guess. No, I'm just simply saying is that it makes sense. It just makes sense. And when you look at the Bible, all the Bible passages, all of them, you know, almost every book has got something about praising God and celebrating. I mean, even Lamentations, you know what that stands for? A funeral song. Even the Lamentations, it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It's in there. His mercies never come to an end. At the middle of this dirge's funeral song, they are new every morning. Are you being Kevin in Lamentations? Yeah. Jeremiah's going, there's something to celebrate. Great is your faithfulness. I mean, even in the middle of a negative book like Jeremiah, there's passages after passages say, we can celebrate, we can praise God. And do we know Jeremiah was a weeping prophet? But no book in the Bible captures praise and celebration like the book of Psalms. And I realized, John, I got a little ahead of myself. Let's back up a verse here. Look at this verse here. This is Psalms 149. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of his faithful people. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let his faithful people rejoice in his honor and sing for joy on their beds. That's what Kevin was doing, dancing. Jumping up and down, trying to sing, just so happy. And I got to tell you something, church, as I'm watching it, it motivated me to root for the Bears. I'm a Packer fan. We're the nemesis. We're the arch enemy. But his praise just turned me around a little bit. And I'm going, you know what? Bears are good. I think I could get behind this team. Now, my sons are not so compliant, but I just noticed that when we celebrate, it's contagious. It brings celebration. That's what freedom does. Freedom causes dancing in the street when a tyrant falls. Celebration's on the mind of an inmate. The first thing they come out, they go, what do you want to do? Let's go celebrate. I'm out. And I want to say to you this morning that your freedom in Christ is worth every bit of celebration. And how you celebrate your freedom in Christ says a lot about you. Look what David does here. Look how David does it. Help me escape this trap, he says in chapter 142, verse 7. Help me escape this trap so that I can praise your name. Then good people will celebrate with me because you took care of me. And that's what I'm saying. Kevin was so excited, it dawned on me. He motivated me to celebrate with him. I was happy for him. Let's do this. Play a little game here. I'll describe some. You tell me what we're celebrating. There's a cake with lots of candles and presents. What are we celebrating? There's a tree with lights and presents. Christmas. There's a cookout with fireworks afterwards. Exactly. A gold watch and some cards. Black balloons. I remember that over the hill party. We celebrate lots of moments. Let me tell you, there's a moment on every believer's heart we ought to celebrate the most, and that's our freedom in Christ. It's good news. It's news of pardon, of liberation, freedom of fear, freedom of worries, and it contains great power over everything that tries to lay hold of us. Jesus said this one time to his disciples. He was saying this to them because he was giving them the power to heal and cast out demons. And he's saying, freely you have received, freely give. The message says, you have been treated generously, so live generously. And I know the context of that passage, he's saying, I've given you these abilities. You didn't have to pay for them. You get them without anything. I want you to use them and share them without payment. Well, is it just the gifts we got that God wants us to use? Wouldn't it be anything else that I've received from God freely? He'd want me to give it and live it generously. Isn't that a celebration? It's just much more than normal. Kevin's normal posture is quiet and reserved, but not last weekend. He's out of himself. And I'm saying that I want to encourage you, make your celebration obvious, because it does two things. It expresses your deep gratitude to the Lord, but it also encourages everybody else that you're with to celebrate too. I want to say, some of you here, some of you fellas, I got the best seat in the house. I see everybody's faces. Okay. I might miss a few here and there, but a lot of times we're singing, I'll just look around, just looking around. And fellas, some of you men have surprised me. Some of you guys, it's so cool. You're not mumbling to yourself. You're actually shaping the words. And then when we're in groups of prayer, someone will pray that maybe normally doesn't. I want to tell you, it thrills me. It encourages me. It also encourages everybody else that you're around. Your wife, your kids, your grandkids, when they see you praising God. It's contagious. It just flows. More people praise God when you praise God. And it's not just, I'm watching some of our members here. You're praising just here on Sunday mornings. But there's other ways to praise and celebrate your freedom. When you volunteer. When you do things well because it bears the Lord's name. And you want to do it better. Yesterday, man, our office and the people that planned our leadership seminar, man, you guys really came through. They asked me, was you happy, Tim? They knew what I was going to say. I'm knocked off my feet. I thought we were at a hotel. It was just so encouraging to see I could slap it together or I could, because I'm free, create. I could create. And use the margin to try things and not try things or adjust things. It's just wonderful to see. I'm just saying to your church this morning that, you know, we celebrate by just choosing a positive attitude. A good, joyful attitude in the workplace, in the home, when we treat each other with kindness. You celebrate your freedom through a godly life. That's what you're doing. I don't think it's coincidental that this church is beginning to grow. because we're realizing I have this freedom to grow, and as I grow, others will. Look at this passage in 1 Peter 2. Be careful how you believe among your unsaved neighbors. For then, even if they are suspicious of you and talk against you, they'll end up praising God for your good works when Christ returns. Talk about an impact. And when you celebrate Christ with a godly life, with service, I'm not free to do what I want. I'm free here. Lord, I'm your slave. And my mind is on my master, Jesus. Jesus, what do you want me to do? That's the focus I have. Because you're not a tyrant in my life. You set me free. What do you want me to do now? And then listen for his voice. Watch for that door to open and walk through it and let God use you. You can say to the devil, you don't own me anymore. No, not anymore. You got a card in your bulletin, and maybe you'd like to respond to this lesson in some way, maybe a thought or a prayer request. We're going to give you a chance to do that. I read something this morning. It bothered me greatly. In America right now, not everybody's free. We live in a free country, but not everybody's free. And you may be thinking about something like who? What are you talking about, Tim? I'm talking about almost 2 million inmates in jails and prisons in our country. We live in a free country, but they're not free. And I can be around, hear about freedom. I can be around people that are free, but it doesn't guarantee I'm free unless the sun sets me free. Then I'm free indeed. Just ask yourself, am I free right now? Something hold me down, something binding me. God wants you free. He wants to set you free. You have a habit or a hurt, something that's got a hold of you, and it just seems like I can't move. God reaches down. He reached down with Jesus Christ from heaven and says, I want to pull you out of that. I want to set you free. How does that happen, Tim? Well, a big step is to trust him. How does that happen? What does that mean? Well, if you're not sure what to do, open the Bible up with someone here. Maybe somebody that's brought you here, somebody you know here, and just say, look, I want to know, how does this work? And walk through the scriptures. Because Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Or maybe you say, I already know, Tim. I used to be really free, but now I've got myself back in the cage for some reason. I've gotten back in the old habits. What do I do? Maybe it's simply rededicating your life and saying, you know what? I just need to repent, and I need to rededicate my life and trust the Christ who gives me this freedom again. I'm going to give you a moment to fill out that card. Afterwards, you can put them in those baskets back there, as well as your contribution. And then we'll be through with the day. May God bless you to understand. May God bless all of us, including myself, to understand this freedom we have in Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so very much for setting us free, for what you've done to set us free. Father, I don't know if, well, we would quickly admit we're not sure we understand everything we're to do with this freedom. So, Father, as we go through this sermon series together, may you help us understand, broaden our minds, deepen our thoughts, understanding of your word, so we can enjoy the benefits of this freedom. Thank you for setting us free from sin. For every believer here, thank you, Father. For everybody here, Father, that's not sure, Father, would you help them know how they can be free from their sin? Father, help us use our freedom wisely, responsibly. Help us take advantage of the room that you supply because of this freedom, that we can try things even if we make mistakes. Because you've brought us in such an open place, a safe place, a spacious place to learn and grow. Father, may our freedom remind us of how you really feel about us, that we'll refuse to believe some of the lies we tell ourselves and embrace your truth. And Father, Your freedom is so good. Oh, we pray. We vow to celebrate your freedom through our praise, but through our lives, through our service. We pray all this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
All that I am, all that I have, I lay them down before you. Praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. Things in the past, things yet unseen, wishes and dreams that are yet to come true. What we give to you, Lord. Oh, and Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory, Lord. I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you. Pleasing sacrifice, Lord, I offer.